there's certainly a generational element. There will be surprises that will make changes ahead of the actual dying off of the older generation, of which I am a member.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I'm very fortunate to have David Weinberger, who's a co-author of Clue Train Manifesto, and I am here at the New Communications Forum, sitting in the ballroom of the Venetian Hotel with him, and very lucky, as I said, to have him have the chance to talk to me, because he's leaving on an airplane in about 2 hours. So David, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thanks.
The first question I really have is you know, you gave an incredible speech and all of that, but what really do you think, given your perspective, is the impact that all of the social media is having on marketers today?
The social media just continues the work of the internet in enabling customers to talk with each other and thus avoid marketers as much as possible. So marketers want to influence customers. The techniques marketers traditionally have used in the broadcast world are pretty offensive. They're basically coming up with a message that will appeal to as broad an audience as possible, which means the message has to be as general, generic, and simple as possible. And that's, nobody likes to hear that stuff. We all have remotes and we change channels during the ads. And so the growth of social media just gives us new ways in which we can talk with one another about the products we care about, some of them that we hate, some of them that we love, tell each other the truth, do so in very human voices, and not have to rely upon what marketers tell us. In fact, the voice of marketers becomes ever stranger as we get more and more used to the sound of other humans talking about products.
So what do you think is really the biggest deterrent today to having it be adopted by marketing people? Having it, when I say it, meaning the ability to use social media, wikis, podcasts, blogs, that sort of thing.
There are lots of obstacles. One is just the way the institution is set up. Institutions are set up, particularly the institution of business and the marketing department within that. We know how to do things. We know how to measure success. We know what we count as success. It's very difficult to turn from that into a new world where we have to invent ways of doing things and we don't even agree about what constitutes success. So there are institutional reasons, there are personal psychological reasons, there are huge career impediments that people who have built careers succeeding in the pre-web world are often quite reluctant and don't see the value of the web. And from that point of view, the web looks like this cacophony of adolescents who are yelling at each other. Of course, from within the web, it doesn't look like that at all. So there are lots and lots of reasons why this is hard to do.
So I work with a lot of at PodTech. We talk to a lot of corporate marketers and do a lot of work for various corporations. And the thing that I see most likely that affects everyone is the fear factor. I mean, they really, to your point, they get stymied because they don't want to get fired. They're really afraid of taking that next step. What kind of advice do you have for them to encourage them to take that next step?
People who are already inclined to...
Right, people who are already inclined, who are thinking about social media and they want to use it, but they have this real great fear. You gave some good advice in the speech, and I'd like to, you know, just have you talk about it a little bit.
No idea what I said, but I doubt very much it was good advice.
Well, it's all about, you know, taking little steps.
Ah. Yeah. This is a political question, and politics is almost always local, so it's very hard to give generic advice. I mean, the generic advice you're referring to is that, as we've learned on the web and on the internet from the beginning, that it's a medium in which it's easy to fail quickly and cheaply without a lot of consequences. You just pick yourself up and you try something else, or you tweak it and try it again. It's a very good medium for failing quickly, a point that Clay Shirky, who teaches at NYU, made in an HBR article in February. Just fail rapidly. So that's good. I mean, it lowers the cost of failure and that lowers the risk of failure. But it's It's politics, it's local, it comes, for example, it depends on your boss. If you got a boss who's really resistant to this and is going to fire you if you go out and try something, that's one thing. If you have a boss you can work around, that's another. So it gets very hard to give specific advice because so much depends on your exact circumstance.
But, you know, the one thing that this is kind of my philosophy, I'd love to have you react to it, is part of it is, to your point, trying things and doing little things. But then I also think there really is before it really, really, really happens, it's going to have to be a generational shift. I mean, my kids are 17 and 15, and I see how transparent they are with everything they do, MySpace, Facebook, you know, blogs, and always on IM and doing five things at once on the computer. The point being that they don't have any fear of all this technology and blogs and podcasts, and they also are very willing to speak their mind easily. Do you agree with that? I mean, do you think it's going to be a generational shift that has to happen where, you know, you have all the kids that are now 17 come into the marketing jobs and so they're 24 before it kind of really gets adopted overall?
It's certainly a generational issue. It's not obviously it's not a clean line. There are people on both sides of the generation gap. On the one hand, yeah, it's a generational thing. On the other, some institutions will start failing. So I'm speaking here not just of marketing, but there are institutions that will start failing because of the generational pressures that will have to respond. And it's hard to predict which ones. Nobody would have predicted that it would be encyclopedias 5 years ago, but something emerged. Wikipedia emerged as such a strong challenger to traditional encyclopedias. Somebody could get, or classified ads, you know, with Craigslist, again, not predictable that that's the institution. It's somebody could come up tomorrow in a garage with the exact right way of doing an aggregated newspaper that does to the newspapers what Wikipedia is doing to encyclopedias and music sharing is doing to the music industry. So it's essentially unpredictable. It's the nature of innovation. So there's certainly a generational element. There will be surprises that will make changes ahead of the actual dying off of the older generation, of which I am a member.
It's me too, sort of. Okay, so what about USA Today and what they've done? I mean, it's pretty impressive. So for the listeners that maybe not have paid attention, but they've changed the whole format of their publication so that you can now comment on it and I think they've got dig capability. And so the point is here, I think it's a phenomenal thing that they've done, that they've tried to engage and change and adopt social media somewhat. What's your feeling, just given, you know, your position in the business of, in a sense, social media? How do you feel about what they've done?
I am impressed with the degree to which they've undertaken change. It's still, but I'm a little disappointed, and I don't want to fault them because they've gone a long way and they seem to be willing to experiment and try things out, and that's great, but I don't think it's yet the site that it will be or could be. So they have, as you say, all those things. One of the things that's most impressive to me is that they're bringing in not just blogs, links to blogs on articles, but also pointing out to other streams, other news streams.
Right. No, it definitely is. Well, for all those listeners, if you hear things in the background, we're in the ballroom of the Venetian, and that's why we have people setting up for lunch. So I think with that, I'm going to have to cut the interview because I think they're going to start setting up tables around us. David, thank you very much for being on Marketing Voices today. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your time because I know you're heading out to get a plane.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So this has been Jennifer Jones, and I've been with David Weinberger, who's co-author of Clue Train Manifesto. And until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.